You ever look around and think, I'm too young to feel this dead inside, or I'm too old to be this unsure of who I am? Like you were promised self-actualization, but you found out it's less finding yourself in Bali and more arguing with a customer service chatbot about a missing blender. Or you accidentally fast-forwarded to the part of your life where you're supposed to be reflecting on a failed marriage and making peace with the fact that you peaked during a company trivia night in 2017. But you're not 50. You're 28. Or 19. Or 43. Or 67. And more emotionally stable than your grandkids. It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say is that the midlife crisis isn't age restricted anymore. It's gone airborne. We're all having one now. And I don't think it's because of some dramatic personal failure, though we all have our share of those to some degree. I think it's because the entire system is having one. Now, look, you're not unraveling because you drank gas station coffee or haven't done laundry in 3 weeks. You're probably spiraling because you live in a dying empire built on Wi-Fi and an increasingly delusional idea of infinite progress. I'd say at this point, the world is standing in the break room of a third shift warehouse, microwaving last night's spaghetti in warped Tupperware, trying to ignore the flickering light overhead and the fact that nobody's been paid overtime in months. And we're just supposed to clock in like everything's fine. All right, so back in the day, a midlife crisis used to be simple. You'd buy a new motorcycle or a red sports car and maybe have a tantric connection with a yoga instructor named Moon Blossom. But somewhere around age 45, you realized you weren't special and you tried to fix it with leather seats and a gym membership, which of course you never fulfilled. And now you hit 25 and you realize the planet's on fire, democracy is rotting from the inside out, and your job description might be replaced by an AI trained on Reddit posts and Pinterest quotes. And you're supposed to just breathe your way through it. Maybe drink some mushroom tea, buy a vision board. I don't know, manifest stability in a collapsing economy. So I had my first midlife crisis at age 24. I was busy hustling in depraved conditions, believing I was going to hit the big time, and was stubbornly grinding away in poverty, believing it was all going to pay off if I just believed hard enough. But every morning felt like hitting snooze on a life I was never really going to escape from. I wasn't exactly suicidal. I was just ambiently doomed. It was as if I was on a plane I couldn't get off of, and instead of crashing It just circled endlessly above a flaming landfill, handing out stale, complimentary peanuts and platitudes. I think you get the idea. But this isn't just an individual issue. This is global. It's systemic, and I'd say generational. We are, all of us, experiencing a metaphysical identity crisis while the operating system of modern life short circuits in real time. Our institutions are failing, our leadership is senile and bought, our economy is less free market and more Hunger Games with venture capital, and we're not really citizens anymore. We are more like data sets with varying degrees of depression. I believe the American dream has been quietly euthanized and nobody even sent flowers. You know, we were promised a ladder. Climate, they said. Rung by rung, school, job, mortgage, marriage, kids, treadmill desk. There'd be meaning at the top, they said. A 401k, maybe some spiritual enlightenment between meditation and tax season. Instead, we woke up in a malfunctioning theme park where the mascots are tech bros launching penis-shaped rockets, and the ride operators are burnout therapists on SSRIs. Henry Rollins once said, "America isn't a place you live, it's a video game you survive." But I don't think we're malfunctioning. I think we're quite lucid, actually. We are a reasonably sensitive mammal trapped in a fever dream of collapsing institutions and melting glaciers, all while doing the infinite scroll. And yeah, maybe it's not anxiety. It's just what awareness feels like when the illusion wears off and all that's left is your slightly over-caffeinated body slumped on an IKEA couch, blinking at the void like it might send a push notification with instructions. So here we are, folks. We're stuck in this strange collective psychic haze. Like we all wandered into someone else's midlife crisis and forgot to leave. And it doesn't matter if you're 19 or 59, divorced, or still living in your childhood bedroom, you're probably feeling it. That dull ache behind your eyes that says, none of this is really working, is it? And no, it's not a glitch in your personal development. It's not that you missed some 10 Habits of Highly Effective People checklist. It's that the world you were supposed to inherit doesn't exist anymore, because that script got shredded. Sorry. You know, adulthood used to mean something. You got a job, you bought a house, and you raised kids that hated you in new and exciting ways. But in the 21st century, adulthood seems like a blurry sideshow of broken milestones and shifting expectations. expectations. You can't really afford a house or kids anymore. And that's if you even want to bring kids into this world in the first place. You can't afford a good therapist, but you can subscribe to a wellness app that tells you everything is fine in Morgan Freeman's voice. This is a world where nothing solid stays long enough to build on. No stable jobs or shared values, no real community, just rotating vibes and bills. Okay, so philosopher Mark Fisher, who definitely would have chain smoked through this whole video, wrote that it's easier to imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism. And he called it capitalist realism, the inability to imagine any other alternative. And that's what this collective midlife crisis really is. It's the psychic weight of realizing that the future has been foreclosed. There's no retirement or American dream anymore. There's no upward mobility anymore, just something like vertical scrolling through curated lives that you'll never afford. So the historian Christopher Lash warned us about this a long time ago. He wrote about how society, in its obsession with productivity and surface level positivity, was creating a culture of narcissism. People so desperate to be seen and affirmed, they stop knowing who they were. Because no one told them how to be anything, just how to perform. All the world's a stage. So the middle class was supposed to be the prize for enduring capitalism. But as you know, that middle class is now a vanishing act. And what we're left with is David Graeber's bullshit jobs, which are careers that serve no real purpose except to keep you exhausted and slightly to heavily ashamed. Jobs where you stare at spreadsheets like they might eventually reveal the face of God. So, Graeber called it a form of spiritual violence. People need to believe their time matters, that they matter. But instead, you clock in and you disassociate for 8 hours and you reward yourself with Uber Eats and passive suicidal ideation. Okay. Another philosopher, Ivan Illich, once said that institutions, once they grow too large, stop serving people and begin consuming them. For instance, hospitals that no longer heal and have a vested interest in sickness, and schools that no longer educate. And let's not forget governments that exist to maintain themselves, not to serve their constituents. And you can feel it. You can feel how everything has become a subscription. Even your own attention, sold off to the highest bidder, and even your relationships framed in algorithms and dating profiles that read like emotional resumes. This is Lewis Mumford's Mega Machine in Action. Not some sleek sci-fi dystopia, but a bloated, bureaucratic fever dream where your soul gets chewed up by HR policy and techno-feudalism. And no one can tell you why. And the best part is that you were taught to believe in the future, and not just chronologically, but morally, that things get better, that progress is inevitable and endless, and that you're just a few good decisions away from peace of mind. But instead, we have climate catastrophe, and the housing market is a rigged casino, and politics is, of course, a cartoon. On top of all of that, no one seems to know whether AI will save us or replace us, or maybe just edit our dating bios and resumes until we forget how to be human altogether. Even James Hillman, that cranky Jungian who never fully bought into healing, said it. The soul doesn't want to be cured. It wants to be understood. But we're out here too busy doom scrolling to listen. And this isn't just your crisis. I think it's a civilizational hangover. It's an era that woke up from the party and realized the punch bowl was full of lies, that the promises we were fed were actually coupons for a store that burned down in 2008. So, yeah, we feel a little unmoored. I mean, of course we do. How could we not? We're sane, awake. We're not entirely broken. We're just living in a system that is. And we're having a totally rational reaction to a culture that's lost its way. At some point, we stopped asking, "Who am I?" and started asking, "What should I do with my life?" Which, in my opinion, was a big mistake. Because what should I do implies there's an answer. A clean, linear solution like a life hack or a TED talk. But the deeper question, the terrifying, ungoogleable one, is what the hell is going on here? Okay, so David Foster Wallace tried to warn us. He said, "The real freedom is the ability to consciously choose what to pay attention to." But unfortunately, we gave that up. We handed our attention to apps and algorithms, to advertising firms in Palo Alto. And now we exist in a perpetual fog of monetized distraction. And when the fog lifts, it's just noise and choice paralysis. And it's LinkedIn gurus whispering motivational threats like, "If you don't build your dream, someone will hire you to build theirs." You know, we were told we could do anything, so now we're nothing. You know, we were told we could be anything. And again, now we're nothing. Because now every identity is a brand and every passion a side hustle. And now every human interaction is shadowed by a faint transactional odor. smells like corporate capitalism mixed with desperation. And if you're still trying to, find your place in all this, good luck. Because the world, it just keeps shifting under your feet like a drunken stagehand rearranging the set mid-performance. So, the philosopher Charles Taylor calls this the malaise of modernity. It's that slow burn dread that comes from a culture that's lost its shared values but still demands individual performance. We have no common vision of the good, but we all better hustle like hell to look successful on social media, right? So, yeah, maybe it's not a midlife crisis. It's more a civilizational identity crisis, wearing a hoodie and drinking cold brew or something. And here's the thing. There's no exit ramp. There's no find yourself yoga retreat in Bali that undoes decades of systemic spiritual decay. I think the best we've got is awareness. And maybe a small, quiet refusal to play the game by the old rules. The tricky thing about collapse is that it doesn't always look like smoke and rubble or some, grandiose apocalyptic scene. Sometimes it looks like everybody smiling through gritted teeth at a wellness workshop while quietly wondering if they'd be happier living in their car. I don't think we need a mushroom cloud to feel like the world ended. All it takes is 9 hours of Zoom meetings at your soul-destroying job or a grocery bill that costs more than rent used to. Or the creeping suspicion that you were born for something more than endless physical labor or inbox maintenance. So, good old Viktor Frankl, who I've mentioned many times before, who survived actual death camps in World War II, said that suffering without meaning is unbearable. That humans can survive nearly anything if they believe there's a why behind it. But what's the why behind juggling 3 jobs to afford a studio apartment with exposed pipes and black mold that your landlord refuses to take care of? We were built to seek meaning, but we were trained to seek productivity. And that switch, subtle and corrosive, is killing us. Eric Fromm called it the shift from being to having. We don't live as ourselves anymore. We just collect identities. We own accomplishments and acquire relationships. We possess status. It's reached the point where even love is something we try to earn rather than something we simply give. So, Simone Weil, one of those gloriously strange mystics who felt more deeply than was probably healthy, wrote that attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. But our attention has been strip mined and resold back to us in 15-second clips with royalty-free ukulele music. So we sit and scroll and search, waiting for something to fill the silence between the constant dopamine hits. And when the noise dies down, the existential hangover kicks in. I mean, is it any wonder that we're all freaking out? It's not just a midlife crisis, it's a mid-era crisis. A low-grade cultural nervous breakdown dressed up as content. And somewhere deep down, we all know this. We can feel it. But I think we feel this more deep down in our bones than in our heads. That it's like an aching sense that this isn't sustainable. That this isn't it. But nobody wants to say it out loud, right? Because if we admit that the emperor is naked, someone might expect us to sew him a damn pair of pants. So, what the hell do we do when you wake up in a world that feels like it's emotionally catfishing you? Where meaning's been outsourced and, you know, the future is basically paywalled. What do you do when your therapist is booked out 6 weeks because everyone else is also whisper screaming into the void? Well, first, I think we stop trying to fix the feeling like it's a glitch. This isn't a bug. It's a feature of being a conscious creature in an unraveling civilization. I don't think we're malfunctioning. We're noticing. And I think the very fact that it hurts means we're still human. And I think it means we haven't quite gone numb yet. Okay. Thomas Merton said, "We are so obsessed with doing that we have no time to be." We've fallen into the trap of believing that we are what we do. But you are not your resume or your follower count. You are not your credit score. You are a sentient sack of meat floating on a spinning rock who somehow has the ability to feel grief and beauty and awe and dread all in the same 90-second window. I don't see this as dysfunction. I see it as depth. But how do we live with that kind of awareness and not drown in it? Well, I think we start by turning down the volume on everything that's trying to sell us anesthesia. Let's turn down the news cycle that feeds on our cortisol. How about we turn down the influencers pretending anxiety can be cured with a mushroom latte and 5 a.m. lunches? Or, I don't know, how about we silence the productivity cult that acts like burnout is a spiritual achievement? Bell Hooks said that choosing love in a loveless culture is a radical act. Choosing stillness is too. Choosing not to scroll past your own discomfort, but to sit with it and learn its name. And maybe, most importantly, choosing each other. because the myth of the individualist savior, it's just that, a myth. Nobody survives collapse and solitude. And I think, whether we like it or not, we're going to need each other. Even if we're all weird and traumatized and awkward as hell at hugging and divided. Ivan Illich once wrote about the idea of conviviality, the art of living together without domination, not in utopia, just in dignity. It's not sexy, but it is real. And I don't know, maybe that's the answer. Not to optimize your way out of collapse or to build a better life on the smoldering ruins of a toxic system, but to just slow down, feel it and grieve it, laugh at it, and then imperfectly, humanly connect. Because maybe the crisis we're all having is less about midlife and more about the middle of something else. Something that's falling apart, yes, but also maybe something beginning. Thanks for watching.